Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show. Dick Girardi in the final half hour. We'll talk basketball. Indian Line basketball team at Michigan tomorrow night. And then Purdue and the Palestra coming up on Sunday. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The best in the business. I mean, that's we love being associated with people who are the best in the business. I don't care if it's Brewers Outlet, or Sunbury Motors, or Purdy Insurance. And when we talk about the best in the business, they take great care of you. They're great people, great to deal with, know their business inside and out, make sure you're fully insured. Make sure, by the way, that they'll do everything they can to save you money. I mean, that's what you get at Purdy Insurance. That's the kind of customer service we all want. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which really eases the buying experience so much here in 2023. And a fabulous service department. So busy, they need more technicians. Because when you have a great reputation for doing great work, you get business. And they need more technicians. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Mention that Penn State plays at Michigan tomorrow night. Then they have Purdue Sunday at the Palestra. One guy they won't have to see on Sunday is Jaden Ivey, who's now taken his high wire act to the NBA with the Detroit Pistons at our play-by-play call of the day.
Jaden Ivey on the top against Watanabe. He will drive him and posterize him. Wow!
And unfortunately, a little too demonstrative, George, with the celebration after the dunk.
You still, young fella, you still made a great play. People come to see plays like that.
That's with emphasis, that dunk.
Durant makes the technical foul free throw.
That's my good friend George Blaha, the voice of the Detroit Pistons, saying, you're good friends, Steve. Why are you friends with the Detroit Pistons play-by-play guy? George is also the play-by-play voice for Michigan State football. So that's why I know George so well. He is a great announcer, terrific guy. Nothing but great things to say about George Blaha. And that was his call on the Jaden Ivey slam dunk, followed by, yes, the technical foul. But you know, as George said, that's why people buy tickets to see games. That's the reason why, right there. All right. So let's turn our attention now to wrestling. Penn State Wrestling continues to sell out Rec Hall. I think they've sold out Rec Hall, I want to say, 64 times in a row, something like that. They've got two Jordan Center matches coming up with Iowa and Michigan down the road, which will be fabulous. Had a chance to talk with Cale Sanderson. I asked him, I said, anything to this stage of the season surprise him at this point?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think we expect to kind of just get going and learn from there. And not any major surprises. I mean, we have some freshmen in the lineup who have competed really well and helped us a lot last weekend in a couple tight matches. You know, our veterans are they're great and they're gamers. The bigger the match, the better they're going to compete. But yeah, I don't think there's really any major surprises at this point or anything that we know differently. It's just baby steps the whole way.
And part of those steps, I want to go to Bo Bartlett. Bo has, you know, he's wrestled at different weights. Now he's at a weight that I think people would perceive more natural for him. What did he learn wrestling at a different weight that maybe he can now apply at a natural rate?
Yeah, he was definitely wrestling up the last 2 years, and he just got a lot of valuable experience, I think. I mean, he's a guy that has a ton of ability. He's a great athlete. I mean, if you follow him on Instagram, he's doing all sorts of crazy backflips and things, and he's the backflip guy. I don't know what the actual title is, but yeah, I think, you know, he's just a kid who just needs to keep competing. He's been wrestling great. He's won some tough matches this year, and, you know, some close ones that he kind of figured out, and he's just going to keep getting better. But for him, I think it's just confidence and just being himself and letting it rip a little bit.
Is being at, quote, what would be his natural weight part of that confidence, the fact he has settled into something that he knows that is, that's the right spot for him?
Yeah, I think so. I think just his athleticism, his strength is something that he can take advantage of a little bit more at a natural weight, right? When you're wrestling up a weight, and he was doing everything that he could just to weigh in on weight, basically. And
yeah.
When you're doing that, you're giving up size and strength, and he's really strong, and like I was saying, so but still, it's just a different level of strength up a weight class, and you know, that's just something that he can really get back to, and kind of when he wants to score, he scores. I mean, he's got a lot of ability, and he's getting better. So I think, as you're saying, as he settles into this weight class more, we'll see more and more out of him.
Kale, what have you seen from Shane Van Ness so far that you've liked?
He's just a tough kid. He's moving forward all the time. You know, that's what we saw when we were watching him in high school. He's a smart wrestler also, but he picks up steam and gets stronger as the match goes on. And those guys are a lot of fun to have in the lineup. But yeah, he had two big wins last weekend. I think he was just the Penn State Male Athlete of the Week, which was cool for him. But he's a beast.
Every sport right now in intercollegiate athletics is older because of COVID. What has that done for the depth of wrestling across the country, because you do have older wrestlers still competing?
Yeah, it's bizarre, and I think you have older wrestlers, and I think, you know, these kids, they went through just a really strange time, you know. I mean,
yeah,
they weren't able to be around each other as much their first couple years. Their school was different, right? They didn't have to go to class. All they had to do was pass their classes. It was pass-fail, and so they kind of got thrown back into the real world, and that's been a challenge for some of them. But yeah, you have kids with another year of eligibility, and most of them are going to use it. So it's and you're going to see the effects for a couple more years, right? We have a guy like Carter Strachey could wrestle two more years after this year, and you know, 1 year at a time. But you know, he could wrestle the national tournament five times. So
wow,
yeah.
What was it like for you as a coach who has had a way to coach, to go through that year, and how grateful were you, among other things, to get it back so it's had some semblance of normalcy from a coaching point of view?
Yeah, I mean, COVID was exhausting. All the hoops and things you had to jump through, and you're working with kids that weren't really too concerned with it, but they had to, you know, they had to follow the rules over, you know, every day. And it was challenging, but you know, it was challenging for everybody. And I mean, you had people that were hurting, and families, and people that are passing away. So you know, we were just grateful to get through it and to this point. And but it was definitely a challenging time for the kids and everybody.
What has it meant for you that you've had the stability of the coaching staff through every year, and what has it meant to the growth of the program, that stability?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, everything to me. I mean, having Coach Cunningham and Coach Cody and Marner's with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, but you just, our staff, you know, even our director of ops has been with us since 2010, 11, so probably 2011. So, you know, we spent a lot of time together, and a lot of ups and downs, and you know, problem solving and hard work, and you know, a lot of weekends, you know. So having those guys, people that I trust completely, makes all the world of a difference to me as the head coach. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it without them.
Yeah, because that's something, you know, I'll be honest, I grew up in a household that valued loyalty. Now, loyalty has to be a two-way street. How valuable, now you have to have competence, obviously, but how valuable is that loyalty component to you?
Well, it's very important to me. I think the loyalty and the trust factor that we have with each other, I mean, we're honest with each other. You know, they're both, you know, all of our coaches could be head coaches at some other school.
Yeah.
You know, they're not playing games and, you know, with us or anything like that. I mean, they just, you know, we do the best we can to take care of them. And, you know, Pat's helped me with that and before Sandy. Yeah, I think, you know, your team's going to follow your example, right? And if you're loyal to each other and you trust each other and you're on the same page, it's very important to the whole program, and that's something that we're blessed to have.
What kind of progress, let's go to heavyweight, what kind of progress have you seen in Greg Kirkfleet as he's tried to make his moves forward during the course of this season coming off of last season?
Yeah, I think he's wrestling great. His confidence is high. He's put on 30 pounds and kept it, which is 30 pounds for him. I mean, he's just so strong naturally. 30 pounds to him, he's lean and mean. It's a lot of strength and power. So, but yeah, he's wrestling great, and just got to keep it rolling.
Let me bring up the part about strength and conditioning, because you add 30 pounds with the idea that you can only be stronger, but many times guys will get quicker because of it. What has been important in your observation as a coach of the strength and conditioning program here that's helped your student athletes?
Yeah, wrestling is unique in that you have, you have weight management. You have different kids cutting weight. I don't like to use say that, but you know, managing their weight,
making a weight class.
Yeah, making a weight class, right? So you have, and then you have a guy like Greg at heavyweight who, it's the weight class is 285 and he's 250, so he has no weight concerns whatsoever. So it's just making sure you individualize things, and that's what we do. You know, it's not a one size fits all kind of a program. You just got to kind of work with each individual to help them. And they all have different ideas. And, you know, kids today come in with their own strength coaches. And so it's just about making sure they're confident and they're getting what they need. But in wrestling, a lot of it is just you get in good wrestling shape by wrestling. So we spend a lot of time on the mat. And that's where what we rely on for the most.
So we say all the time, you can't get better unless you're playing. All right? Yeah. You can do
that's
other
right.
things. You can't get better unless you play. All right. So Pat does a great job, Pat Dungard, of always keeping us up to date on not just dual meets where we see the 10-man lineup, but also on what goes on at tournaments. How have you felt about the progress of some of the guys that have gone through the tournaments that may not be in this everyday lineup that maybe the fans don't get a chance to see?
Well, yeah, we have some, we have some really strong depth, more at some weights than others, and we've seen that even in the last week. We had, you know, Aaron Brooks returning, two-time national champion, didn't wrestle in the Ryder match, and then against Lehigh, Roman didn't wrestle, who's a two-time national champion. So we've had guys really step in there and compete for the team. And we expect to see that throughout the year. It's just kind of something that, and really you want, you know, we want kids that want to be national champions, you know, whether they're the starter or not. And they don't know when their time's going to come, but we have a good group of guys and, a lot of solid depth. We have, a roster of around 36 they're ready to roll if needed.
At 125, it looks like Gary Steen will be the leadoff for you on Sunday. When you look at him, what kind of progress has he made, and what's been the learning curve for him to this point?
I think he's got everything he needs. He's just kind of learning how good he is, I think. I mean, that's just life, right? And just knowing that and believing. But he has all the tools. You know, he works hard. He's a great kid, great student. He's just got to keep competing, and he can see that he's right there because he's been there with some top. Not he hasn't wrestled any, top five type kids, but some top 25, and he's been in there, point for point. So he's just got to keep competing and get that experience. But he can compete. He's a really tough, talented wrestler.
What about Max Dean to this point? What do you know, everybody's going to go through and they're going to have a tough match here and there. What's Maxie look like to you?
Yeah, Max, he had a rough weekend last weekend. Yeah. You know, lost a couple matches, but, you know, it's early December, right? You know, it's not really, we don't really put a lot of focus on winning and losing ever, really. You know, I mean, it's just how do we compete? But he's a gamer and a competitor, and he'll be stronger because of that weekend. Not too worried about him, but, you know, felt bad for him because nobody likes to lose, but he's going to be okay.
Is there anything to it about, look, you go out there, you're a defending national champ, so you're going to get the best from said wrestler or said team on a given night. Is there something to that, and there's something mentally that a wrestler has to approach that with because they are in that spot?
Yeah, I think, you know, it depends on who they are and where they're at. But, I mean, there can definitely be expectations can be killers, right? I mean, if so you just got to be clear on what you want and why you want it. I mean, and sometimes it doesn't have to be anything that's articulate other than I want to be national champion. And as long as you have a clear focus, you know, sometimes adversity will bring a little bit of clarification. I think that was something that was good for Max this last weekend. I think he's just putting a little bit too much pressure on himself, and it's amazing the type of energy that you can use up before you step on the mat or before you compete if you're not in the right frame of mind. But it's all experience, and sometimes experience is expensive, as they say, or painful. So,
yeah.
But it's you know, expectations can be killers. You got to manage those things.
Tell us a little bit at 57 and 65 about Terrell and Alex, so the fans get to know them a little bit better.
Yeah, well, Charles, he's competed for us a couple times. 2 years ago, last year, he was off and on.
Yep.
He's right there. He's been losing by 1 point to the top five guys in the country off and on. And he's just got to get that big win, I think. I mean, he's been close a few times, but, you know, he works really hard, great kid. He's going to compete hard every time. Does the right things, you know, works hard in school, and he's, you know, just a good teammate. You know, Facundo's a true freshman. He's been wrestling really well so far, and, you know, he's a big, you know, blue chip kind of recruit coming out of Michigan. Keeps getting better and better. Had some nice wins this past weekend. In the Lehigh duel, wrestling a very experienced kid, I think a fifth-year senior, and won a close match. But he's one of those guys that just love the sport. He's a guy you got to tell him to leave the room, and, you know, he's had enough, you know, say, you know, kind of, and that's a good thing. You know, you want kids that want to be the best. He's very motivated. He's going to have a great career.
For you, and this will be the last question, I'll let you go, so you can give a yes or no answer, you know you're done.
No.
Except I'm not going to ask.
I can do that.
I'm not going to ask a yes or no question. For you, when you wake up in the day, what makes you anxious to get in and into the wrestling room every day?
It's a good question. I don't know if I want to be honest or not. I hate losing. So, I mean, you know, losing is very, the thought of it, I just believe we're going to win. I believe our guys are all going to win. And so kind of that, the thought that we might lose is kind of I jump out of bed and what is what motivates me.
Great answer. Yeah. I probably would have given the same answer, but I don't win or lose. I just announce it.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not, but that's what I do.
Great spot to be in.
Yeah.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. It's always great seeing you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good luck this weekend, the rest of the season as well.
I appreciate it. We'll see you.
The best in the business, Cale Sanderson. There is nobody that has a better program in the country than Cale Sanderson. All the national championships as a team, all the national championships individually, the outstanding academic progress that wrestling has. It is a story of success. Now, you know why Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills, who's a big wrestling fan anyway, a couple years ago, Terry Pegula brought Sean down to State College to meet with Cale and to be around the program. Sean McDermott wanted to observe the reasons for success and why Penn State wrestling is so great. And that's why Sean came down to State College. They were on their way to Pittsburgh for something anyway, and he wanted to see Cale Sanderson, so Terry brought him by. And you know, Cale is a guy that you do need to observe. He understands there's a balance between work and keeping things a bit loose. When it's time to do academics, you do academics. When it's time to wrestle, you wrestle. And when it's time to practice, you practice. And not only that, he has zero, I mean zero, as you can tell in the interview, no ego at all. He's as down-to-earth gets. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Dick Girardi, final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour, and don't forget tomorrow's show will be in Ann Arbor as Penn State gets ready to take on Michigan in basketball. Then later in the week, it'll be Purdue at the Palestra. All right, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Never discount the warranty, so valuable. Great pre-owned inventory with the invaluable Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle. And a service department led by great technicians who take care of the life of your vehicle. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Well, we've made the transition into 2023, but Dick Girardi and I do have some valuable material. Courtesy of Roger Corey, who for the holidays bought us Jeopardy sweatshirts, because Dick and I, when we're on the road, and sometimes at home, but on the road, we will play Jeopardy. Dick will say, Alexa, let's play Jeopardy. All right? And we'll play. Well, Roger got us each Jeopardy shirts. Dick, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Steve, good afternoon, sir.
I hope you've taken good care of the Roger Corey Jeopardy sweatshirts we received.
It got washed this morning.
Oh, perfect.
I didn't know where it's been. Nothing against Roger, but I just thought I'd throw it in the wash, and it looks good. I have not yet worn it, but that could happen Thursday.
That could happen Thursday.
You know, I could have a pair of Jeopardy out there.
For those who don't know, Dick is a Jeopardy master, and he's hooked me into the especially on road trips. Although at home we do that sometimes, but on road trips, let's play Jeopardy, and we have a good time with it. So.
Well, yeah, I'm all right, but Joe Putnam is—he's way better than either one of us. Let's be realistic.
Joe Putnam is a killer.
Indeed, he is. that's correct.
I mean, we just kind of sit there and go, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's right, Joe. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, he is astonishing with his level of knowledge. And my favorite was when we played a whole bunch of them in the middle of the night, coming back from Blacksburg to the middle of nowhere a couple of years ago. We drove for like 3 hours. It was like, we get back like 3 a.m. It was like a 9 o'clock game. And then you had to get up and go to State College. And I stopped in Baltimore and had some crab cakes. It was a beautiful thing. Yeah. But yes, we played a lot of Jeopardy that night. So, all good.
They're going to run into Hunter Dickinson at Michigan. They're going to run into Zach Edey against Purdue at the Palestra.
Yep.
And then Trace Jackson Davis. So that's going to be three right in a row.
Yep.
But what I like, though, is that Coach Shrews, he's a next-level thinker. And I'm going to be interested to see, especially in those three games, what he dials up against Dickinson, Edey, and Trace Jackson Davis to counteract them with what he has.
Right, and those are right in a row.
Right.
Iowa first, and then those three. Yeah, it is fascinating. But I think it's, you know, without talking to him yet, but I think the theory is going to be, look, even if we had really good, a good experienced big man like John Harrah, are we really going to be able to do a lot with those three players? The answer is really no. That's just bad matchup. It's a bad matchup for John. You know, maybe a guy like Mike Watkins, who's a shot blocker, he's hadn't been in the program for a couple of years, you give yourself a little better chance, but you're going to have trouble.
Yeah.
So what are you trying to do? Make them guard somebody. Make them guard Miles Dritt.
Yeah.
You know, make them come out and play on the at the three-point line. Good luck. Because Zach Edey, and Penn State did a good job against him last year, when he's out guarding in open space, he's got problems. You got problems guarding him. He's been awesome. But he's just not quick enough out there. Davis is the most athletic of those three. But if you're Indiana, you don't really want him guarding somebody at the three-point line. Same with Dickinson. So I think that's what it's going to come down to, Steve. I think they're going to get numbers, those three big guys, and the question is, can you outscore them from the three-point line, and can your other four guys, because frankly, I don't think much of the rest of Indiana's lineup.
No.
I never really understood why they were picked the first of the Big Ten, but that's neither here nor there. The Penn State will get to them here shortly. Purdue, I think, has been the biggest surprise in the league, given what they lost. But look, Matt Painter's a wonderful coach, and it just doesn't seem to matter. He just does a great job. And Michigan, I think they're still, when I watch them, Steve, a lot of new players. They lost their point guard, the kid from Princeton, Llewellyn, who I know that he got an ACL. I know they had a really thought he would be another really good fifth year guy for them. But the coach's son is Jed Howard. Is really good. He's really good.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen enough of them yet to get a real feel for it. But I think Penn State can play with anybody in the league. There isn't anybody that I watch and go, oh my God, they're just so much better. I don't see that. And teams are going to have to think about, look, how are we going to play against this team?
Right.
So it is interesting. And of course, we're waiting on the Seth Lundy. We don't think it's all that serious, but to be determined. We certainly think he's not going to be out for any length of time.
Right. I have to ask you about the Palestra part because it's coming up here. Dick, they've played Michigan State and Iowa there. It's been a packed house each time. The timing of it is it happens to be the last day before the students come back to campus anyway. What's your thought on what you and I both think is a genius move of getting this program into that building?
Yeah, for so many reasons. One, you bring it to your largest alumni base who can't get up to State College in the wintertime to watch basketball. You bring it to your biggest recruiting base. You get some pub in the area where Penn State Hoops generally does not. It was kind of unfortunate that it couldn't have been on a Saturday this year rather than a Sunday. But the good news is the Eagles are playing, but it's going to be irrelevant because they basically need to win one more game. And that's the last game of the regular season on the 8th. They need to win one of the next three to have the top seed throughout. So that should be done by that time. But yeah, it's such a cool place to play. I think it's cool for the players. I know when Micah got the job, first time I talked to him, I said, "Look, what do you know about this?" He's like, "I watched both of the games." He says, "We're doing this."
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to happen every year, although I wouldn't mind it. But every couple of years is great. And Seth Lundy will get his second chance to play there, which will be cool. And, of course, Seth played there. Andrew Funk played there in high school, both of them in Catholic League champions. Seth winning championships, Andrew Funk with Colin Gillespie winning a championship at Archbishop Wood in the building. So that'll be very cool for them as well. And Cam Winter played literally right up the street
right.
at Drexel.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of he played 4 years at Drexel. And when I say right up the street, I mean right up the street.
Yep.
Like two blocks away.
No doubt.
And he's played in the cluster. So that'll be cool for all those guys. And Miles Dredd got a chance to play there, and I know he loved it when they played Iowa in 2020. So, yeah, like Adam Fisher's a local guy. Mike Farrelly's a local guy, went to St. Joe's. So, yeah, a lot of connections in Philly. And look, I have two favorite buildings to watch college basketball.
Yep.
The cluster is one of them, and I know I told you the other one is Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
It'd be great if Penn State could somehow get a game out there one time, because I think you would love that place. That's just an awesome place to watch hoops.
It's ironic you bring that up, because Venkat Benpatuti, who is Neely Benpatuti's husband, the president of Penn State, stopped by a practice the other day, and he says he's talking to me about Fog Allen Fieldhouse. And I mentioned to him that how much you love Fog Allen Fieldhouse, and he says, "I can't believe you've never been there." And I said, "No, I have not." He says, "You have to go." Well, I said, "Well, you're the husband of the president of the university. Why don't you make it happen?"
You call Phil Self. Phil home there.
Yeah. Yeah, make it happen.
Or even a one-off. Just go out there and play. Everybody should get an opportunity. It's the best. It's just awesome. And the Palestra is, people have been in Rec Hall. It's Rec Hall without a track at the top, and it was built at the same time by the same architect. And it's half the size of Allen Fieldhouse. Basically, Allen Fieldhouse is the cluster with a second deck.
And obviously, you've been asked this question a lot, but of all, who knows how many games have you done in there? Hundreds?
Yeah, I would say,
hundreds?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't care if it's high school or it's college or whatever it may be. Give me a couple off the top of your head where you walked out of the building and you said, "Wow."
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Iowa game was a wow 3 years ago.
Yep.
Just the quality of play. And remember how hot it was in January?
Boiling.
To bring out the fans. Probably the most famous game I saw there was LaSalle in Florida. Lionel Simmons was a junior, and George McLeod was the star Florida State.
Yep.
Played in the NBA for quite a long time. 101-100
Wow.
In regulation. LaSalle won the game. I mean, just great ball, just wonderful stuff. And maybe the wildest one I saw in there, and I only saw half of it. I'll explain why. Penn is playing Princeton, which is obviously a legendary game. They played every year forever. And Penn, with Mike Jordan, who's now the Lafayette coach, and Matt Langle, who's the Colgate coach for the backcourt, really good backcourt. And Penn is leading at halftime 33-9.
Yeah. Oh.
And I leave because I got the Temple St. Joe's game, which is the 9:30 game out at St. Joe's. So I get out there, and I'm watching the second half. And Princeton wins the game, 50-49. Like, what? How did that happen? And the Penn fans were yelling at him at halftime, "You have 9."
Unfortunately.
So they win the game. And it's crazy. They ended up playing the last game of the season for the Ivy League championship. This is before the tournament at Jadwin up in Princeton campus. And the winner was winning the league. And Penn slaughtered them. And they didn't come back. And Fran Duffy, who was then the Penn coach, had the great line. He says, "I felt like Bill Buckner only I got a second chance.
After Princeton scored 41 in the second half of the other game.
Yeah, it was like, what just happened? It was like, and it's one of those weird things, you know, like the NFL yesterday, right?
Yep.
Like, what? How did that happen?
What are we doing?
Yeah, those kind of stick out. I mean, some of the Villanova St. Joe's games in there were always great. Didn't really matter who was any good that year. They were just good games. Yeah. In fact, Villanova had pounded St. Joe's at it on their campus. It was pretty early in Jay Wright's tenure. St. Joe's probably had the better players, but Villanova just killed them. Yeah. Well, the next year, it was Jameer Nelson's junior year.
Yeah.
And at the end of the last practice before the game, Martelli ran like the last 2 minutes of the previous game where Villanova was just murdering him. And St. Joe's came out, and I think, let's see if I can get this right, late in the first half, the score was like, it was like 43-9.
Oh, jeez.
It was like that Penn Princeton game.
Yeah.
And Villanova didn't come back. And that was when Jay Wright was just getting the program started. Randy Foy was a freshman.
Yeah.
And all the guys who ended up being really good players there, they just weren't ready for that spot against that team. But it was just, it wasn't really two teams playing well. The Villanova, major credit, they ended up coming back, lost by 17. I mean, they didn't, like, give up or anything. They lose by 50.
Right.
And that was, again, a seed for the program starting to get on a run. But, yeah, that was the junior version of the St. Joe's team that went 27-0 in the regular season the next year. I mean, they were just really, really good with several NBA players on the roster.
And by the way, George McLeod did play a game in Rec Hall for Florida State against Penn State.
There you go.
There you go.
And I'm trying to think who that is. I believe Pat Kennedy was the coach there.
That sounds right. Pat was the coach.
Yeah.
Pat was the coach at the time.
Yeah. No, I knew Pat well from his Iona days. I ended up his career at Towson.
Yes.
Another
didn't go well.
No, it did not go well. Another one of the great stories. I'm doing a Towson LaSalle game one year at LaSalle.
Yeah.
And Pat's nearing the end of the line. It's just obvious it's not going to work out. So I walked into the locker room before the game. I said, and they were like, oh, and whatever. I said, LaSalle's really bad. I said, you might win this game. And he looked at me and he says, you obviously have not seen our team play. And then at the end of the game, LaSalle's holding on, and LaSalle throws the ball inbounds off the basket wire. Give Towson the last shot. They hit a three. They win the game. Pat Kennedy runs off the court. Steve, it was the last game he ever won. He went 1-28.
Oh, God. Oh, well, we could do this all day.
That game was not at the Palazzo. That was at LaSalle.
Right.
Nevertheless, just, I mean, the stuff we've seen through the years.
It's
fun, and it's especially fun this year for many games as you and I have done together on the radio to see this group, to see the fun they're having, to see how beautifully coached they are, and to see how well they're playing. And I think people can look forward to a tournament. And, you know, I don't want to make any predictions. The last prediction I made, I turned out to be right but wrong. I said after two games, the 2019-20 team is going to the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
And, of course, they would have gone to the tournament if there had been a tournament.
Yes.
But I think this team's certainly going to plan a postseason, and I think they have a real chance at the NCAA. All the numbers are good, but, you know, they're going to have to do it. They're going to have to get up near 10, 11, 12 wins, whatever that number is going to be in the Big Ten, win the games you're supposed to win, win a few maybe you're not on paper supposed to win. But they're fully capable. They're really experienced. There isn't going to be a situation any of these core players haven't seen before. And they've really played only one poor game of Michigan.
Yeah.
That was a game I'm sure they'd all like to have back.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe they will get it back in Chicago. They don't play Michigan State again in the regular season. But it's college basketball. Nobody's going to play great every night. It just doesn't work out that way. But that's one they like to have back. But in the very next game, they got it back, and then some when they went to Illinois and just they were 10-point underdogs and won by 15. So good team getting better. Really looking forward to the last 20 games of the regular season and some serious postseason action in Chicago and a site to be determined.
Dick Girardi joining us on the show today. Great to have him with us. Great to have you with us. It's Penn State and Michigan tomorrow. Then it's Purdue coming up on Sunday at the Palestra. And I mentioned at the beginning with Dick there about Indiana's after that. So it's Hunter Dickinson, Zach Edey, Trace Jackson Davis all right in a row in terms of big guys. But remember, the big guys also have to guard the Penn State offense too. That is part of it. Okay. So we make the transition from football to basketball, but there'll be a lot of football to talk about because we have a lot of NFL to talk about because the Eagles and the Giants, of course, will be playing on Sunday. So I'll be down in Philadelphia. No, I will not be going to the Eagles-Giants game. I sort of have someplace I need to be on Sunday, but then the playoffs will get going. And let's face it, the Eagles have their shot. They have had an outstanding regular season. Right, no bones about it. Now it's every week's, after the first round bye, they get everything sitting there for them, all at home. And you have the college football playoff championship game next Monday night. So we're now making that transition into playoff football after one last regular season weekend. And regular season basketball and regular season wrestling. For the months out, Iowa's going to be in the Jordan Center. And eventually Michigan will be in the Jordan Center. So you got a lot going on. That's why it's such a fun time of the year. All right. And we're just beginning in 2023. We're just beginning. And for me, let's face it, I got to work with Jack Ham yesterday. I get to work with Dick Girardi tomorrow. It's not a bad life. And I get to work with Matt Catrillo every day. Pretty cool. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a fabulous service department with great technicians to back it all up. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. We'll talk to you from Ann Arbor tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.